I actually had one thing I wanted to. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I actually had one part that came to mind that I did not share in the PDF, but I was reminded of it while Brother Jackson was speaking this morning. So this is from book 8 of the Recognitions of Plymouth, chapter 37, and it's called The Form of Sound Words from Me. This is Kepha explaining to his taught ones how he wants them to also do teaching. This is, but on the following day, Kepha arose early. Kepha is the name for Peter in the Aramaic or Hebrew. He means a stone. It says, but on the following day, Kepha arose early and he called us, and we went together to the secret place in which we had been on the previous day for the purpose of prayer. And when after prayer we were coming from there to the appointed place, he exhorted us by the way, saying, hear me, most beloved fellow servants. It is good that every one of you, according to his ability, contributes to the advantage of those who are approaching to the belief of our way. And therefore, do not shrink from instructing the ignorant and teaching according to the chokhmah or wisdom that has been bestowed upon you by the providence of Elohim. Yet, so that you only join the eloquence of your discourse with those things that you have heard from me and that have been committed to you. But do not speak anything that is your own and that has been committed or that has not been committed to you, though it may seem to yourself to be true. But hold forth those things, as I have said, that I myself have received from the Nevi'a Emet, or the true foreteller, Yahushua, and have delivered to you, although they may seem to be less full of authority. For thus men often do, who turn away from the truth, while they believe that they have found out by their own thoughts a form of truth more true and powerful. So that quite goes well with what our brother was saying, and with my entire intentions with what we're sharing today and what we'll be sharing, Father willing, for the foreseeable future. But if everyone has the PDF that was shared, I'm not going to read all of it, but we will cover what's in there. What I would like to go over today also covers what he has mentioned in the way we just read. But it's about the reason why we should even consider looking at the Apostolic Constitution. And this is for anyone who might want to be able to explain this to someone else as well, in a very simple way. The first thing I wanted to share is a part that's actually missing from most translations of our common scriptures in Exodus 20. I also shared where it is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, so we're not going to read both of them, but I'll read this part. And this is when all the children of Israel were surrounded at the base of the mountain, and they had built the wall. The Asim, or the Yahuwah of Asim, was dwelling on top of Mount Sinai in the flaming fire. That particular name is called the Kabod Yahuwah, is a term. It's kind of like a key word that's usually just like Dabar Yahuwah, or the word of Yahuwah, is talking about our Messiah. This is another word that's usually speaking of him. Whenever it's talking about Yahuwah of esteem, that was our Mashiach, who was esteemed by the Father and also given his name. But that's for a separate time. He was speaking on the top of the mountain to all the children when he gave the Ten Commandments. And this part is in the Dead Sea Scrolls in Scroll 4Q22. And it's also in the Samaritan Pentateuch. There's in the PDF, there is a link for you to look up the Dead Sea Scrolls version yourself. But here we go. I'm starting from verse 17. This is a comment, and then I'll just continue reading. It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And when Yahuwah your Elohim will bring you to the land which you are going to inherit, you shall set up for yourselves large stones, and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this Torah, and you shall have crossed, or, and when you shall have crossed over the Jordan, or Yarden, that on Mount Gizurim you shall set up these stones which I command you today. And there you shall build an altar to Yahuwah your Elohim, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones the altar of Yahuwah your Elohim, and offer burnt offerings on it to Yahuwah your Elohim. You shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there and rejoice before Yahuwah your Elohim. That mountain is on the other side of the Jordan, toward the setting sun, in the land of the Canaanites, who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal, beside the terebinth trees of Moreh. Now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moshe, surely Yahuwah our Elohim has shown us his esteem and his greatness. And we have seen, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that Elohim speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of Yahuwah our Elohim anymore, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living Elohim speaking from the midst of the fire, as we have, and live? You go near and hear all that Yahuwah our Elohim may say, and tell us all that Yahuwah our Elohim says to you, and we will hear and do it. But let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. And Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Elohim has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off. But Moshe drew near the thick darkness where Elohim was. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, saying, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. I will raise up for them a foreteller like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear his words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other mighty ones, that foreteller shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which Yahuwah has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahuwah, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which Yahuwah has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. And again, we left an extra witness for that one. The second witness or repeat of that verse is also in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 22, which we won't repeat again, but that was when Moshe was telling the people after their wilderness journey, reiterating what had happened.
Brother Richard, can I ask a question? Why does this, how does this connect? Thank you, Brother Richard. How does this connect with the Constitution?
Well, to establish the authority for why we should listen to it. all of Scripture was given by our Creator. We acknowledge that. And then he told us in a specific chain of authority, there's more involved to it. We can go more in depth at a different time, but all the way back in the book of Henoch, you can trace down where he's given his writings and passed them down to those he's chosen to teach others. And the same was true with the renewed or new covenant writings.
Thank you.
But I'm not going through, no problem. I wasn't going through the whole breadth of that because what we wanted to focus on is why we should listen to the apostolic constitutions. So as briefly as I can, I wanted to establish that our Mashiach is the authority we should listen to. And then what he told us to listen to was his sent ones. And then what they said is, and that's what is basically the chain of authority.
Thank you, brother. I understand.
The next section, these next verses are just to confirm that it was our Mashiach that came, and he was the one that this was speaking about. So it says, now this was the witness of Yahuchanan, or John, when the Yahudim sent from Yerushalayim, Kohanim and Lewiim, or priests and Levites, to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Mashiach. And they asked him, what then? Are you Eliyahu? So he said, I am not. Are you the foreteller? He answered, no. Therefore they said to him, who are you, so that we give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of Yahuwah, as the foreteller Yeshayahu said. There's a section in the Dead Sea Scrolls that actually talks about the conditions that needed to be met before someone was supposed to go out into the wilderness saying that very thing. I don't have it handy for us, and time constraints really don't allow it, but I did want to mention that. And those sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you immerse if you are not the Mashiach, nor Eliyahu, nor the foreteller? Yahuchanan answered them, saying, I immerse in water, but in your midst stands one whom you do not know, the one coming after me, who has become before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loosen. This took place in Beth Anya, or the house of the poor, beyond the Yarden, where Yahuchanan was immersing. On the next day, Yahuchanan saw Yahushua coming toward him and said, see the Lamb of Elohim, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who has become before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he might be revealed to Yisrael. Therefore, I came immersing in water. And Yahuchanan bore witness, saying, I have seen the Ruach coming down from the Shamayim, like a dove, and remain on him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, upon whom you see the Ruach coming down and remaining on him, this is he who immerses in the set-apart Ruach. And I have seen and have witnessed that this is the Son of Elohim. Again, on the following day, Yahuchanan was standing with two of his taught ones and looking at Yahushua, walking. He said, see the Lamb of Elohim. And the two taught ones heard him speaking, and they followed Yahushua. And that was Yahuchanan, or John 1, verse 19 through 37. It says, the woman said to him, I know that Mashiach is coming, the one who is called Anointed. When that one comes, he shall announce to us all. Yahushua said to her, I who am speaking to you am he. Yahuchanan 4, 25 and 26. So the Yahudim surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in suspense? If you are the Mashiach, say to us plainly." Yahushua answered them, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness concerning me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them everlasting life. And they shall by no means ever perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one," or Yahad. Again, the Yahudim picked up stones to stone him. Yahushua answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. Because of which of these works do you stone me?" The Yahudim answered him, saying, "We do not stone you for a good work, but for blasphemy. And because you, being a man, make yourself Elohim." Yahushua answered them, "Is it not written in your own Torah, 'I said, you are Elohim'? If he called them Elohim to whom the word of Elohim came, and it is impossible for the scripture to be broken, do you say of him whom the Father set apart and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of Elohim'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, but he went forth out of their hand and went once more to the other side of the Jordan, to the place where Yahuchanan was immersing at first, and there he stayed. And many came to him and said, "Yahuchanan indeed did no sign, yet all that Yahuchanan said about this man was true, and many believed in him there." Yahuchanan, or John 10, verses 24 through 42. And I would like to point out, at another time we can go over it in more detail, but Kepha explains in the discourse with Simon the Magician, the context or the uses of Elohim and how it's supposed to be comprehended through the scriptures in every use that it's given. It's very profitable to look at.
Is that it, brother?
Continuing.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Sorry, for that part it is. I don't have it on hand with me, but it helps to explain why Moshe and why the Shefotim or the judges are considered Elohim, and also why our Mashiach is Elohim in the same capacity that Moshe was sent as an Elohim to Pharaoh. It's a picture here, but he helps give us a clear picture of why these titles are used and for what purpose. The next section is also in the common scriptures. It's in the book of Acts, I believe. It says, "In Kepha with Yahuchanan, looking..." It says, "In Kepha and Yahuchanan were going up to the set-apart place at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his birth was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the set-apart place, which is called Yaffa, to ask alms from those entering into the set-apart place. Who, seeing Kepha and Yahuchanan about to go into the set-apart place, asked for alms. And Kepha with Yahuchanan, looking steadfastly at him, said, 'Look at us.' And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive whatever from them. But Kepha said, 'I do not have silver and gold, but what I do possess, this I give to you. In the name of Yahushua, the Mashiach of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And taking him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made firm. And leaping up, he stood and walked, and went in with them into the set-apart place, walking and leaping and praising Elohim. And all the people saw him walking and praising Elohim, and they recognized him, that it was he who sat begging alms at the lovely gate of the set apart place. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what befell him. And as the lame man who was healed was clinging to Kepha and Yahuchanan, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Shalomo's, greatly amazed. And seeing it, Kepha responded to the people, "Men of Yisrael, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or reverence we have made him walk? The Elohim of Abraham and of Yitzhak and of Yaakov, the Elohim of our fathers, esteemed his servant Yahushua, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the set apart and righteous one, and asked that a man, a murderer, be granted to you. But you killed the Prince of Life, whom Elohim raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and by the belief in his name, this one whom you see and know, his name made strong, and the belief which comes through him has given him this perfect healing before all of you. And now, brothers, I know that you did it in ignorance, as your rulers did too. But this is how Elohim has filled what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the foretellers, that his Mashiach was to suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn back for the blotting out of your sins, in order that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Master, and that he sends Yahushua Mashiach, pre-appointed for you, whom the Shamayim needs to receive until the times of restoration of all, of which Elohim spoke through the mouth of all his set-apart foretellers since of old. For Moshe truly said to the fathers, Yahuwah your Elohim shall raise up for you a foreteller like me from your brothers. Him you shall hear according to all, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every being who does not hear that foreteller shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And likewise, all the foretellers who have spoken from Shemuel and those following have also announced these days. You are the sons of the foretellers and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be Baruch. To you first, Elohim, having raised up his servant Yahushua, sent him to Barak you, in turning away each one of you from your wicked ways. And that was Acts 3, 1 through 26. This next section is from the homilies, which is a variant of the recognitions, slightly different content in it. But this is from Homilies, Book 3, Chapter 48. It's called Test of Truth. Then Shimon, this is Simon the Magician, since as you say, we must comprehend the things concerning Elohim by comparing them with the creation. How is it possible to recognize the other things in the Torah which are from the tradition of Moshe and are true and are mixed up with these falsehoods? Then Kepha said, a certain verse has been recorded without controversy in the written Torah, according to the providence of Elohim, so as to show clearly which of the things written are true and which are false. Then said Shimon, which is that? Show it us. Then Kepha said, I will tell you right away. It is written in the first book of the Torah towards the end, a ruler will not fail from Yehuda, nor a leader from his thighs, until he comes who it is, and he is the expectation of the nations. If, therefore, anyone can apprehend him who came after the failure of ruler and leader from Yehuda, and who was to be expected of the nations, he will be able by this verse to recognize him as truly having come. And believing his teaching, he will know what of the scriptures are true and what are false. Then said Shimon, I comprehend that you speak of your Yahushua as he of whom whom the foretelling of the scripture spoke. So let it be granted that it is so. Tell us then how he taught you to discriminate the scriptures. Just to explain what that means, he's trying to say that there are certain things in the scriptures you can read, and in other places it talks about it in the recognition, that we can take the things that are written and come up with our own opinions and try to prove them and find validation, because you can miss the context. You can take what's written and not comprehend it the way it was meant to be said, or lying pens of the scribes have tampered with the text and changed it so there's actual falsehoods in there. And these are things that are documented reality. There's a lot of examples that are known and proven, so that's something we can go over at a separate time. But back here, the way that Kepha explained it, or in other places as well, Moshe was given the truth. And when he was told to bring up the 70 and to anoint them as well, they were also initiated into the doctrine or the mysteries of the belief. They saw a Mashiach on the mountain, and they were given the truth, which they were supposed to teach others. And from that, holding down the truth that they were given, and they were able to keep the belief and carry it down, mostly pure. It was later on through tampering that things got messed up. And then in the same way, he was taught, and all of the emissaries were taught the truth regarding how to take the scriptures. And then it was the 72 after them, and then they went out and built the assemblies. And they anointed the elders and the overseers and also gave them the truth. This is more equated, and as we go along, you'll see that there's actually books written that are for the worthy and the unworthy. And there's books that are meant only for those that are prudent and intelligent among the people, because in it is all the treasures of Chokmah, or wisdom and knowledge. And that's actually in 4th Ezra. But, I'm going to go ahead and skip the homily section. There's a lot there, and it's worth looking into just so you can see some examples of that. But that is quite a bit, and we're going on. However, I do want to point out that the leader of Yehuda, Aaron had actually married the daughter of Nahash, who is the leader of the tribe of Yehuda in the wilderness. So all of his sons, all the Kohanim, were also of the line of Yehuda. And after the captivity, they came back. There was a governor from Yehuda ruling. But eventually they were displaced when the Greeks came in, and there was some chaos. And the Hashmoneans ruled after a while, and they became sovereigns and the high Kohen. They were from the first order of the sons of Zadok, but they were also kings. Some of them were ruling. And the only reason why they were allowed to do that is because they were also from the line of Yehuda. And it was after there were some schisms and infighting with brothers, where Pompey came in and they became under tribute of Rome. That was the beginning of the end, because after those brothers, Herod was given the kingdom, and he was an Edomite, which was the fulfillment of the sign. And it was during Herod, or Herod the Great's reign, that our Mashiach was born, which was the fulfillment of that foretelling. But just to continue, it says, accordingly, he knowing the truth, All right, here we go. And having called his 12, now that we've established that he's the Mashiach and he's the one that we should listen to, this is where we hear from him. It says, having called his 12 top ones near, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every bodily weakness. And these are the names of the 12 emissaries. First Shimon, who was called Kepha, and Andari, or Andrew, his brother, Jacob, the son of Zabadi, and Yahuchanan, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Toma and Matanyahu, the tax collector, Yaakov, the son of Alfi, and Labai, whose name also was Thaddeus or Thaddai, Simon the Zealot, and Yehuda from Kirioth, who did also deliver him up. Yahushua sent these 12 out, having commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the nations, and do not enter a city of Samaria, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. And as you go, proclaim, saying, 'The reign of the Shamayim has drawn near.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. You have received without pain, give without being paid. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belt, or a bag for your journey, or two undergarments or sandals or staves. For the worker is worthy of his food. And into whatever city or village you enter, ask who is worthy in it, and stay there until you leave. And as you enter into a house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your shalom come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your shalom return to you. And whoever does not receive you nor hear your words, when you leave that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it shall be more bearable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Matanyahu or Matthew 10, 1 through 15. And after this, the master appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest indeed is great, but the workers are few. Therefore pray the master of the harvest send out workers into the harvest. Go see, I send you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. Do not take a purse, nor bag, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. At whatever house you enter, first say shalom to this house. And if indeed a son of shalom is there, your shalom shall rest on it. And if not, it shall return to you. And stay in the same house, eating and drinking whatever with them, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not move from house to house and into whatever city you enter. And they receive you, eat whatever is placed before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The reign of Elohim has come near to you.' And into whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you.' But know this, that the reign of Elohim has come near to you. And I say to you that it shall be more bearable for Sodom in the day, or in that day, than for that city."
Go ahead, brother.
No problem. This is, "Woe to you, Corandan. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles which were done in you had been done in Zoar and Zidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more bearable for Zoar and Zidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to the Shamayim, shall be brought down to Sheol, or the grave. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." And the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan falling out of the Shamayim as lightning. See, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and none at all shall hurt you. But do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names have been written in the Shamayim." In that hour, Yahushua exulted in the Ruach and said, "I praise you, Father, Master of the Shamayim and of the earth, that you have hidden these from clever and learned ones, and did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, because thus it was well-pleasing in your sight. All has been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and he to whom the Son desires to reveal him. And turning to his taught ones, he said separately, Asherah, or happy, are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you that many foretellers and sovereigns have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And that's from Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 24. We'll have to take this up again on the next Shabbat, but I would like to point out the purpose of the last few verses or sections was to prove that our Mashiach said that whoever would not listen to the ones that he chose, he named and he sent out, it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in the Yom or the Day of Judgment. And not only with the 12, but also with the 72. So all of their epistles, all of the works that they did, the preaching that they said, anything that they've said that, or anything that says to be attributed to them, should be something that we would at least look at to see if it's true. Doesn't mean we should just believe. I do want to bring that out real quick. It doesn't mean we should just believe whatever's written, because scripture said the simple believe every word, but the clever one watches his step. The simple also, they go beyond him. It usually says the simple go on and they are punished. But in the Hebrew, it's ibaru. It's like Eber or Hebrew to go beyond or cross over. And then the wa at the end of that word is the suffix meaning him or it. Most people would say it in the context because they don't realize that he's the word and we're not supposed to go beyond him so that we don't get punished. But that context is also true. However, I do appreciate all of your time. And Father willing, you've seen at least partly why it should be important to regard some of these other writings, to include the apostolic constitutions, but also there's the Epistle of Barnabas. There's other writings that are attributed to the emissaries. And while not all of them are considered canon, they are worth looking at. We are told to study to show ourselves approved, to examine the matters that differ, and to be sincere. Amen. So doing all these things with a sincere desire and a humble, that's the key, to be childlike, to be like a babe and desire the unadulterated milk of the word, to grow by him. And then it all plays out because as we grow and we're nurtured, he continues to reveal himself to us. But thank you. I appreciate all of your time. And if there's any questions,